This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. One of the developmental tasks of young children is learning to use the toilet instead of a diaper. Many parents worry that they'll struggle with potty training, but in fact, most children do just fine when they're ready and are given guidance. You can't force a child to be dry or clean, and putting pressure on children usually backfires. But if you have a positive attitude and provide an encouraging environment, your children will be successful over time. And potty training is a process, not an overnight accomplishment. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, child care providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. You know, these days, parents feel extra pressure to get children potty trained at an early age, partly because many preschool programs won't accept a child unless they're out of diapers. And also, let's face it, diapers are expensive. And so parents are sometimes motivated before their children are ready. Kids are all different. So parents need to learn how to be patient and encouraging without punishment or humiliation. Today we'll give some tips about potty training, and we'll also discuss nighttime bedwetting for children older than 5 years old. There's a great deal that's misunderstood about enuresis, the medical name for bedwetting. It's a common occurrence in kids. Approximately 13% of six-year-olds wet the bed, while about 5% of 10-year-olds do. How you handle this will have a great impact on how your child feels about themselves. Call us this morning with your questions or successes. Do you and your partner disagree about when to begin potty training? And are you getting impatient with your child's lack of interest? Call us at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. And you can email during the show at info@childhoodmatters.org. Joining us in the studio is Renee Mercer. She's the author of Seven Steps to Nighttime Dryness, and she's a pediatric nurse practitioner who specializes in the treatment of children with daytime and nighttime wetting. Drawing on her experience of providing primary health care to children for more than 20 years, Renee founded a specialty practice, Enuresis Associates. She sees children from the age of 6 to 18 who are frustrated with their inability to spontaneously achieve dryness. Her successful techniques have allowed thousands of children to attend sleepovers and camps without worry. She also co-founded and owns the Bedwetting Store. It's a catalog and internet company which provides supplies and resources. She lives in Maryland with her husband, and she has three grown sons. She's here in the San Francisco Bay Area attending conferences this weekend, so we were able to have her in the studio. Renee Mercer, welcome to Childhood Matters.
Thank you, Rona.
It's great to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Also with us is Helen Neville. She recently updated Jan Fall's book, Mommy, I Have to Go Potty. And she's the author of Is This a Phase? Child Development and Parent Strategies, Birth to 6 Years, as well as Temperament Tools, Working with Your Child's Inborn Traits. She's been a parent educator for 30 years and currently wears several hats with Kaiser Permanente. She's a parent educator at Oakland, temperament specialist at Richmond, and member of the ADHD Best Practice Committee. She's the parent of two adult children and a grandma, and she's been a colleague of mine for a long time. Hi, Helen.
It's great to be back with you, Rona.
Really good to see you, too. Let's start with you, Helen. I'm wondering what motivated you to do a book on potty training. There are a lot of them out there. This is a lovely one. What was your interest in this?
This one fell into my lap because Jan Fall wrote this very useful book with wonderful, wonderful vignettes of the child training process. Wrote it about 10 years ago. Parenting Press, who published my earlier books, wanted to update it. Jan Fall chose not to do that, so I was asked to update her book.
And is it different than the original?
There are some additions. Parenting Press wanted to add specifically a chapter on special needs children and potty training. I wanted to add in the temperament piece that Rona and I are so adamant about how that affects potty training. And I also wanted to add in a section on the very, very early potty training that's common around the world and some people are now doing in the U.S.
Great. Well, you know, there's so much to talk about this subject. Maybe to start off, maybe you could just say, first off, what are the signs that a child might be ready? Because that's a question that parents are always asking, you know, how do I know when to start?
Right. And there are different, for example, there's the physical sign, is the child going for long periods? Are the diapers dry for long periods of time? Is the bladder working well as a reservoir? And then there's the social readiness. Are children copying? Are they picking up a telephone? Are they wanting to copy adults? Are they wanting to come in the bathroom and see the process? And then there's the intellectual readiness. Do they reading body signals? Can they feel? Do you see them pause and notice when they're going in their diaper? And finally, emotional readiness. And I think that's the one that tricks parents, because many children are physically ready, they're socially ready, but the emotional commitment of remembering all day, every day, is a whole new thing. And so many children are physically ready before they're emotionally ready to take on the full-time task.
You know, it makes me think a lot about walking. You know, we tend not to put so much pressure on children to walk. It's a developmental task that they learn to do as they're ready. And you could see some children who you could tell are physically ready to walk, but they're not ready to let go, and they're just emotionally not quite ready to be independent in that way.
It's the same thing,
It's very similar.
Right.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today. And, you know, Renee Mercer, you do really important work around bedwetting and for children to learn how to be dry at a certain age. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about why some children who are, able to move out of diapers during the day still need them at night.
Well, Rona, it's kind of a combination of things. Sometimes it's an inherited problem. Often if a parent or a grandparent had a similar problem, the children will maybe sleep more soundly. Maybe their bladder capacity is smaller than that of their peers. And they're just not able to put together the ability to wake up when they have a full bladder in the nighttime. So they will end up having some bedwetting.
And, you know, I think I just want people to know that it's so much more common than we think, but there's so much stigma around bedwetting that it doesn't get talked about a lot. And that it used to, back in the day when I was first trained as a nurse, you know, people would think, well, maybe there's some psychological problems here. Well, in fact, it's a normal thing for some children. It's not because there's something wrong. How we deal with it can cause emotional issues, especially when they're shaming and blaming. And this is when I come out and tell people, you know, I was a bedwetter, and I'll never forget, you know, being at camp at age 7 and the counselor taking the mattress and every morning putting it outside to dry. So everyone in the camp knew that that was my mattress. And, you know, I couldn't stay at that camp very long. I was devastated. And I think you must face that kind of thing all the time, where children are so embarrassed by this.
Absolutely. And I think that's a very common scenario, although we're trying to get the word out that, as you say, it's not a psychological problem. The kids would stay dry if they had the tools in order to do that. And that's part of my job, is to get the word out that there are some very effective treatments for kids who are school age who would like to get to dryness.
And we also have to differentiate, you know, for the child who's never been able to really stay dry versus someone who suddenly starts bedwetting. And that's when you want to also evaluate whether there's something else going on, whether it's an infection or something else. Is that right?
Absolutely. That's called secondary enuresis, and it means that they've had a long period of dryness, but now they've begun wetting again. So you do worry about a new onset of infection or diabetes or something. And it's worth getting that checked out. Just by a simple urine test can rule that out.
Good. Well, we'll be happy to answer your questions about toilet training or bedwetting. And we want to hear from you. You know, what challenges or successes have you had? And you can call us anytime at 877-372-KIDS. We'll start off this morning with our live line. We have Luis with us from Daly City. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. How's it going for you?
I'm good, thank you.
And tell me again how old your kids are?
I have a 3-year-old boy and I have a 2-year-old girl.
So where are you on this potty training, you know, task?
Well, for my son, everything went really well. He actually only wet himself twice.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a really quick learner. He uses the restroom constantly, and he doesn't wet the bed. I mean, he'll have his accident here and there.
Yeah.
But it's not very common. Mm-hmm. My daughter is the one that's worrying us a little bit. My son actually learned to, he was potty trained by 2, and my daughter is already 2.5. And my question is, I understand it takes a little bit of time for them to learn, but, I mean, she gets the concept. She'll say potty. She knows when her diaper is wet. She'll even go as far as taking it off. The only thing is that whenever she says potty, potty, we'll take her to the restroom. She just won't go. She'll wait, and then she'll stand up, and then she'll go.
And does she go? Do you have a little potty chair, or does she have to sit on the big toilet?
We have a little potty for her, but I mean, when we're out in the mall or we're out in restaurants, I mean, we have to go to the regular restroom. But generally, at home, she has her own little potty.
Well, let's see what Helen has to ask or say about this.
My first question, is this as far as peeing or pooping that she goes as soon as she gets off the potty?
It's pee.
It's pee. Okay, this is somewhat unusual. And mainly it's a matter of she needs time to relax. It's not only do some muscles have to hold, but other muscles have to relax. And so it may be if you just spend a few minutes with her with a book or singing some songs while she's on the potty, just to help her relax. A little more comfortable, relaxed, fun time there may help her relax.
And you know what happens, Luis, I think, too, when a child isn't quite ready yet, there's a lot of pressure on them when they go out into the community. You know, you can't always get to a toilet on time. Some of the bathrooms are not the most friendly places to go. So what you might want to do, I often say, is sort of back off a little bit. Make sure she has her diaper when you're going out and about so no one is feeling anxious about it. Even if she might, does she like wearing underwear?
Yeah, she loves, I mean, she has her own little princess underwear because she's obsessed with princess.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, I mean, she rather wear the underwear than the diaper, but then the problem is that she can't go past 5 minutes wearing them because she'll just wet them.
So, you know, this is where Helen, and let me see if you and Renee agree with me. I think when that's the case, we have to step in and say, you know, for now we're not wearing these underwear because it causes more stress, doesn't it?
Right. And sometimes you're in a bind because obviously she's taking them off. And so sometimes parents put their children in overalls and actually pin on the overalls so the diapers or pull-ups stay on. So you may need to take it away from her, the option of taking off the diaper, the underpants, if she's really not ready.
And that's the thing. You don't want to do it as punishment, Renee, right? But it's not appropriate to be wearing underpants when they're being wet, you know, when you're not ready to use them. It just causes more stress, don't you think?
I would agree. And even in the nighttime, a lot of parents have questions about when they should take their children out of pull-ups in the nighttime. And as long as they're not emotionally or age-appropriate for moving on to cloth underwear, it just causes more stress.
So, Louise, with the summer coming, you know, it might be easier at times because, you know, kids also, you know, they go swimming. Sometimes they run around and, you know, it sometimes makes it easier to start toilet training. But I think the key with her is to back off a little bit and tell her that for now she's going to wear her diaper and that soon she'll be ready to wear her underwear. Helen?
Another thing that's important to know is that your son was an unusually early toilet trainer because many boys are not trained at 2. 2.5 is a usual age for girls. 3 is a usual age for boys. So your son was early, which throws off your expectations that she would be early also.
Can you imagine backing off a little bit on this, Louise, giving a break to all of you, get her in her diapers and tell her when she's ready, and then maybe have some books in the bathroom and making it a little more low-key? Does that make any sense to you?
Definitely. We're going to make it more comfortable for her to go, and we're going to go by her timing.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think the big question always is, you know, what do we impose and what do we leave up to them? And I think sometimes we have to set some limits so that the stress isn't there. And for her right now, it must be challenging because she's trying to be like her brother probably, but she's not quite there yet. So I'm going to send you a copy of Helen's book. It's Mommy, I Have to Go Potty. And it might give you some hints also. Louise, have a wonderful day, and let me know. Send me an email sometime. Let me know how it's going.
I will.
Okay.
Have a great one. Thank you.
Take good care. We're talking about potty training and bedwetting. You know, it's not the typical thing you'll hear on a Sunday morning, but, you know, it's one of those things that I know when I talk to parents, it's one of those things they kind of like, okay, we've got to do this. You know, it should be a partnership and it shouldn't be too stressful. So let's take another call now. We have Patina with us from Oakland. Good morning, Patina.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. How old is your daughter?
My daughter is close to three. She'll be three in July of this year. So she is actually potty trained right now. Yeah, she's two months.
And do you want to tell us how you did it or any questions you have?
Well, I actually am not the one who started her potty training. My younger brother and his girlfriend, they were the ones who actually got her to, you know, actually use the toilet and be comfortable with it. And so it wasn't actually me, but I do have a question. I have two, actually. In childcare, my daughter right now, at the age of two and a couple months shy of three, she's very... You know, she's very self-sufficient. She doesn't go at night. She wears her undies all day long. And I feel she knows, you know, the difference between her pull-ups and her undies, and she knows what she needs to do. But how do I bring it up to my daycare provider? I think she kind of has it as a general thing that all the children at nap time put on a pull-up. And I was wondering, is that kind of backtracking on her process, or is that an okay thing?
Okay, so in general, at home, if she's wearing underwear, she doesn't wet her bed
all day long.
Okay, Helen? Renee? Go ahead, Renee.
Well, I would say if she's able to sleep dry through the night and through nap time, I would really talk with your daycare provider about maybe breaking the rule and just let her wear panties for a week or so. And if she's able to maintain dryness, then let that be her way to go.
Yeah, Helen, you agree with that?
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think that childcare providers have a lot of kids to care for, so they have rules that make life, you know, tolerable and easier. But certainly, if she doesn't need it and there's no reason for it, I would have that conversation. And if the childcare provider is resistant to that, I'd be surprised. Have you brought it up yet?
I don't think she'd be resistant. I just, you know, it's kind of an awkward situation.
Well, but I want to say, Patina, this is exactly what we need, is parents and childcare providers having that opportunity to talk about things and not to see it as awkward or imposing in that sense. Helen?
And she may not even know that your daughter is dry all night.
Right.
And dry on weekend naps. So that would be one less thing for her to do if she knows your daughter's reliably dry. It'll make her life easier.
And, you know, Patina, we are about to go to a break. So if you want to hold the line, we'll come back to you after the break, or you can tell our producer your question. But I'm happy for you to stay on the line if you have time. Good. You know, this is a subject that there are so many different aspects, because potty training is about communication. It's about relationships. It's about, you know, trying to figure out what's best for your particular child, you know, and not necessarily what's best for all children. So, I think that you're absolutely doing the right thing of bringing this up and also wanting to talk with your provider about this. And maybe if there are childcare providers listening, they'll also call in. In a moment, we'll take your call.
Join join the dialogue.
Share your thoughts.
Add your feedback.
Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Brought to you in part by First 5 Santa Clara County.
Here is this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Alameda families, are you pregnant or have a child under 3? Through the Looking Glass is offering a new early Head Start program. This free home-based program will begin in June. For more information, call 1-800-644-2666. That's 1-800-644-2666. Visit the Richmond Block Party at the Craneway Pavilion. There will be music, jump houses, and more. Today, May 30, from noon to 6. For more information, visit richmondblockparty.org. That's richmondblockparty.org. Explore the new Genghis Khan exhibit at the Tech Museum in San Rafael. There are more than 200 pieces to see, and it's here through the summer. Check it out Thursday, June 3, from 10 to 8. For more information, call 408-294-8324. That's 408-294-8324. Check out Handmade Crafts and Treats at the Art and Artisan Show in Sonoma Plaza, Saturday, June 5, from 10 to 5. For more information, call 707-833-4085. That's 707-833-4085. Stroll the streets of Foster City during their Arts and Wine Festival. There will be carnival rides, live music, and more. Friday, June 4, from 5 to 10, and Saturday, June 5, from 10 to 7. For more information, call 650-573-7600. That's 650-573-7600. Enjoy a doggy fun day at the Sky Park Soccer Fields in Scotts Valley. There will be a parade, live entertainment, and more. Saturday, June 5, from 10 to 3. For more information, call 831-458-9766. That's 831-458-9766. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
You can help your child excel in school by taking an active role in his or her education. Communicate with your child's teachers, especially in the early years. In honor of California Day of the Teacher this month, get involved in your children's education. Talk to them about what they learned in preschool or kindergarten. What is their favorite activity? What do they want to learn more about? Also, make regular contact with the teacher. Listen to what the teacher has to say about your child's learning style and skills, and stay connected to monitor your child's progress. For more information on early childhood education, contact your local Bay Area First 5 County Commission by visiting www.first5kids.org/bay and www.first5california.com/parents. Brought to you by your local First 5.
Continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First 5.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Today we're talking with Renee Mercer, pediatric nurse practitioner and author of Seven Steps to Nighttime Dryness, and Helen Neville, who recently updated Jan Fall's book, Mommy, I Have to Go Potty, and she's also the author of Is This a Phase? As well as Temperament Tools. And we're talking with you, potty training, bedtime wedding. We have Patina still on the line with us from Oakland. Hi, Patina.
Hi.
So your second question.
Yes. Is there any kind of method you can think of to remind children to use the toilet paper?
To remind children to use toilet paper. Renee, do you have any in your bag of tricks here? Do you have any methods?
Well, I think as children get used to having dry panties, what steps they need to do so that it feels comfortable and dry, you can remind them that toilet paper is a good thing, both after urine and stools, to keep their panties nice and dry.
And, you know, temperament-wise, some kids care about that, and other kids could care less, right? Mm-hmm. Helen, anything that you suggest?
I'd mainly make it part of the routine. So this is just what we do. We sit down, we use the potty, we wipe. If it's a girl, we wipe and wipe front to back and get up and wash our hands. And so just incorporate each time you do it to make it part of the routine.
Patina, it's repetition, 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 and, you know, keep realistic expectations. You know, again, I know some adults who still struggle with this. Patina, I wanted to give you, since you don't need the potty training book, I want to give you a pass. I have a pass to Habitat in Berkeley, or Play Cafe, or Sadie Day Cafe. Do you have a place that you haven't been that you'd like to go?
I think you said Sadie Day?
Yeah, it's over on Telegraph Avenue in Oakland. It's Sadie Day's Cafe.
That sounds great.
Okay, thanks so much for calling this morning.
Thanks for having me. Enjoy your day.
Okay. We're talking about potty training and bedtime wetting at night. You might have a child who is, you know, over six and you're wondering what to do. Renee Merce is an expert in this. She very successfully uses an alarm machine for a lot of the kids that can make a huge difference in training them to wake up when they're starting to have wetting at night. So we'd be glad to take your call this morning, and I think we're almost ready for another call here. Yep. We've got Tiffany with us in Berkeley this morning. Hi, Tiffany.
Oh, hi, Rona.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm good today.
Good.
I kind of was calling it really about underwear versus pull-ups, but I should probably give you some context.
Yeah, go ahead.
Essentially, my almost four-year-old, I mean, I know that he's going to be potty trained by the time he dates, but he's never been really interested. It's always been more initiated by the people around him. I'd say 30% of the time now he pees in the toilet on his own, though the rest of the time he will pee in the toilet. He almost never has any pee accidents.
Yeah.
But it's really about the poop. And he has a lot of, oh, and then also back to the peeing, he has a lot of trouble doing the peeing after nap and waking up. And I put even, like, O's in the toilet so he can, like, aim at them. Mm-hmm. And that was really fun, and that mm-hmm. helped a little bit.
Uh-huh.
His cousins were just here, and I thought, oh, his cousins are all potty trained, you know. Maybe that will help. And he had a lot of conflict while they were here, a lot of, like, emotion around going potty. And then yesterday he went poop in his swimsuit, and then he was, like, laughing on the way upstairs to clean himself up. So that's kind of where he is emotionally. I think he's physically ready,
mm-hmm.
but the rest I don't know about. And so my sister was saying, yeah, maybe try the underwear thing again. The reason that I didn't do the underwear and he's been in pull-ups is because, you know, that kind of stressed me out and made me feel like not
yeah.
such a good parent because I was, like, upset about having poop all over the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the subject that really is hard for parents. So you sense that he's in some conflict and also kind of still developmentally not on top of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd love advice around that. And in particular, underwear versus pull-up. Should I try the underwear thing again?
Okay, Helen. I know it's hard when you know we're doing a 2-minute makeover here. But any thoughts for Tiff?
Yeah. First of all, there are a number of 4-year-olds who don't yet have this down, so you're not alone. Definitely not alone. Another thing that makes it easier, harder, another temperament thing is biological regularity. So can you predict, or is he very irregular day to day in terms of when those poops come?
Can you tell, Tiffany, is he one kid who could go right after breakfast every day?
He used to be regular, but I think the potty training thing made him irregular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, and generally speaking, he goes right after he eats, but if he's trying to go poop in the potty, and we've, like, tried incentive and all kinds of things, and then he tends to kind of, I think, close it off himself. And I just don't want him to be constipated, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Avoiding constipation is really, really important. And I would say it maybe really is time to, I would go with the pull-ups at this point. I would not want to get in fights and face possible constipation. So I would definitely back off, go with the pull-ups, and then figure that he's not quite ready yet.
Yeah, what do you think, Renee?
Well, and another little trick is if he would even sit on the potty with his pull-up, if you see him posturing or acting like he might need to have a bowel movement or hiding in the other room, encouraging him maybe to relax, even with the pull-up on and sitting on the potty, and then you can actually kind of cut a little hole in the pull-up so that he could still have the the comfort of having the pull-up on, but the stool would actually begin to drop out in the potty and reward that behavior.
You know, that's interesting. One thing that I know worked for a mom I was working with, she got a basket and she put pull-ups in there and she put underwear in there. And she would say to her daughter, you know, we don't have to rush on this. You know, you're learning so much. You're doing so well. This is something that will come. And I want you to feel comfortable. You know, in the morning when you wake up, if you think it's a day when it's better to have a pull-up on, you can put your pull-up on. If it's a day that you think you're ready to wear underpants and be able to sit on the toilet, you can do that too. But, I can let you choose that. And for some kids, again, that sort of sense of everything's okay, there's no pressure, when you find you're about to get into kind of battles in any way, and not real battles, but, you know, this sort of emotional, like, is it going to happen, is it not, that's when you want to back off. And sometimes giving them a little more choice can really help. I'll be glad to send you Helen's book, Mommy, I Have to Go Potty, and I think it will give you some other ideas on this. But it's good you're talking about it, and I think for him, you can go back to him and say, you know, just like walking and talking, you know, you've been doing really well, but this does take time, and we're going to work with you on this. And then if you give him oatmeal in the morning or a nice warm meal for breakfast, sometimes that might be, let's bring some books into the bathroom and sit down and try going right now. So keep listening, Tiffany, and thanks so much for your question.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye. Let's take another call this morning. We have Hillary with us from Mill Valley. Good morning, Hillary.
Hi. Good morning, Rona. How are you today?
Great. Thanks.
Thanks so much for the show. My daughter is 21 months old, and I don't really have a deadline per se. You know, I'm not expressing any urgency. She's not expressing any urgency. But I just thought my question today is I'd like to just tell you what is happening, if there's anything else I could do to kind of assist her or just anticipate maybe what might be next for her. For example, I heard one of your guests mention about kids pausing or somehow indicating when they're peeping,
right,
peeing or pooping. And Catherine definitely just stops everything when she's pooping in her diaper.
So she has the first step of awareness.
So, right. And then, because she stands still, and then the act takes place.
Yeah.
And so that's good. I didn't actually kind of put that together as being early awareness, but I guess that makes sense. And so the other day, she announced to me in the bathtub that she was peeing, so that was a great, I really was encouraging her to pee in the bathtub. And then I asked her, I said, do you want to pee in the potty? She said no. And I was like, oh, okay. We have a little potty chair in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And she likes to put her dolls on the potty, but
good.
She's not so interested in sitting on the potty herself.
Another good first step, isn't it, Helen?
Absolutely.
Yeah, good.
Absolutely.
And then I was just out the other day, and I saw a book about the potty, and it has this fun little this button that you push, and it makes it sound like the toilet is flushing, and that, you know, it's like a ridiculous but funny little book, and so she likes to read that book. She was more interested in it when I first purchased it, and I just wonder, is there anything? Every time I ask her if she wants to go potty, she always says no.
Yeah.
And so, which is fine with me. She's only 21 months
old.
But is there anything else I could be thinking of or doing to help her along?
Absolutely. Helen, go ahead.
Yeah, what I would do is just start saying when you see her, when that pause that you know she's pooping, I just say, oh, good, the poop's coming out. And you're just putting words to that act. And then instead of saying, do you want to go potty, then I would start saying, when you're ready, you'll be able to pee on the potty. So you're putting it in a positive, open-ended, instead of sort of making it a conflict immediately. Twos have to say no when you say yes. So when you put it in terms of when you're ready, you'll be able to pee in the potty, then you're setting her up to move ahead when she's ready.
Perfect. And I also, with my grandson, sometimes when I'm going to change his diaper and I see he's just been aware and he's noticed, I say, okay, let's take this now and we'll go put it in the toilet. And then we dump out the diaper and we say bye-bye and we flush it. And he loves that. I mean, it's sort of like, oh, that's another way to say that's where it goes. But again, in a friendly way with no pressure. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Renee, on this?
I think even just sitting on the little potty with her clothes on and just making sure that it's a positive experience. She knows what it feels like to have her feet on the floor with her clothes on so that it's just comfortable.
Yeah, and that's where you have the little potty chair, and then you just kind of wait a little bit and see how it goes. You know, everyone has different ways of this. Some parents are much more, what is the word? They're really pushing it along more. But I think she's showing great signs, and now it's just a matter of waiting and moving it. Yeah, Helen, go ahead.
And you can also, going ahead from what Renee is saying, in terms of when to do that, you can say to her, I'm going to go sit on the potty. I'm going to go sit on the toilet now. You can come sit with me on your potty if you want, and have her come in and sit with her clothes.
That's right.
And you're making it part of the routine and awareness.
Good, good. Helen, we'll send you a copy of Hillary, we're going to send you a copy of Helen's book. It'll also give you some great hints. And you just gave an example, many examples of those first steps. So it sounds like things are really on track.
Oh, good. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for your show today.
Thanks, Hillary. Bye-bye. Bye.
You're listening to Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Pick up the phone and get involved. Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-KIDS.
You know, another thing I liked about Hillary was that this sort of inquiry, and again, if we could start it and stay very positive about, you know, watching our children become more grown up, more aware. Let's take more calls. We're talking about potty training and bedtime wedding. Looks like we have Christine with us this morning from Oakland. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Good morning. You have a question for us?
I have actually a couple of questions. One is, my daughter is 8 years old, and she's still wetting the bed.
Uh-huh.
For a while, we were doing really good. She didn't pee in bed, like, for a month. And now we're back to the same old schedule of peeing almost every night.
And let me just ask you, Christine, has she been wetting the bed pretty much since she was, you know, 5 and 6 and 7?
I can't hear you. What?
Has she? Turn your radio off. If you have your radio on, you want to turn that off.
I can't turn it off.
Oh, you can't turn it off. Okay. Has she always been wetting the bed pretty much since she's 5, 6, 7?
No, not really.
Okay. So
when she started, it was like she didn't stop.
So there was a period of time when she was dry at night?
Yes.
For how long?
I would say about a month.
But most of the time she's been a bedwetter.
Yeah, most of the time she has been.
Okay, go ahead, Renee.
And I'm sure you're doing the common sense kind of things. She toilets before she goes to sleep at night, and you've kind of limited some of her fluids in the evening. Is that correct?
I try to, yes.
Okay. Well, and I'm sure you would probably classify as her as a pretty sound sleeper.
Oh, yes, because I have trouble sometimes when I remember to wake her up in the middle of the night to go.
Yeah.
And if you do wake her up in the middle of the night, does that help her have a dry night?
But the thing is that she'll wake up fairly easy for my mother when my mom watches her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like she's a rock when I got her.
Mm-hmm. So what are the things should Christine be looking at?
Well, Christine, I will tell you, bedwetting alarms, which are moisture-sensing devices that help to alert her when the wetting's occurring, are very effective in helping her get to dryness. So they're just a little sensor that she would wear on the outside of her underwear. It sounds and or vibrates to alert her and you that the wedding's occurring so that her brain can begin to make that association.
So, Christine, one of the things, Christine, is that you want to make sure you talk to the pediatrician, right, and always do a urine test.
Right, make sure there's no urinary tract infection. It's easy.
Nothing mm-hmm. else going mm-hmm. on. And then these alarms that Renee has are fabulous. I mean, I know a lot of parents who have used them, because I would imagine your child is very motivated to not wet at night. Is that right?
She's not wet.
Is she wanting to stop wetting at night?
Yes, she is.
Yes.
Actually, she's kind of embarrassed, and I told her, you know, that we just got to work on it together, you know.
Yeah.
And keep it positive. You know, I always tell her that, you know, if you feel like you've got a goal, or even if you think.
Well, it's so much more complicated than that. Christine, hold on with us, and we'll tell you how to find out more information as soon as the break is over. We'll be right back with you.
And get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
Did you know that in San Francisco and the East Bay, one in every five children has been diagnosed with asthma? In fact, asthma is the most common reason kids are hospitalized in the Bay Area. At kidsdata.org, you can learn more about issues that affect the health and well-being of children in the Bay Area. Kidsdata.org provides easy-to-access information and resources for those who influence kids' lives. You can find data by region, topic, or demographic, such as ethnicity or age. Visit kidsdata.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health.
Children and families are hurting due to budget cuts to education and health care. Thousands have come to rely on Childhood Matters for weekly support about nutrition, discipline, adolescent issues, and inspiration to maintain strong families. Now we need your support. Please donate to our nonprofit by going to childhoodmatters.org and clicking on the Donate Now button, or call us at 877-372-KIDS. With gratitude, I'm Nurse Rona.
Read with your children to help them develop a love of books for life. Research shows that young children who read often with their parents and caregivers are better prepared when they start kindergarten. That's because reading builds confidence and vocabulary skills. Look for books that show the characters doing familiar things your child does, such as playing and eating. This keeps your child involved in the story. And remember to visit the library often. Libraries are a great place for kids to find lots of books on their favorite topics. Many libraries also offer story times. Ask librarians about free resources and activities you can do together. Don't forget to sign up for free library cards, too. For more information about the importance of reading, contact your local Bay Area First Five or visit firstfivekids.org/bay. That's first, the number five, kids.org/bay.
Physical activity supports good health whether you are 7 years old or 70 years old. So take Grandma or Grandpa's hand and head outside for a walk. The Health Trust is committed to making sure people, both young and old, can lead long and healthy lives. Visit www.healthtrust.org to learn more about our Healthy Aging Initiative and how you can help make your community healthier.
Do you want to make a difference for children and youth in your community? If so, you're invited to the Northern California Summit on Children and Youth, brought to you by the Richmond Children's Foundation. Titled 2010, A New Decade of Hope, the summit will be held June 3rd and 4th at the Richmond Civic Center Auditorium. Participate in workshops, presentations by children's champions, a panel of business and foundation leaders moderated by Nurse Rona, and meet those working in the field. For more information and to register, visit richmondchildren.org or call 510-234-1200.
I think I'll call this man father.
Call him father.
I think I'll call him love.
Call him love.
Said I'm gonna call him father.
Call him father.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Well, we're talking with Renee Mercer and Helen Neville, and I'm here. We got the nurses in today. We're talking about potty training and nighttime dryness. We're going to just finish up with you, Christine, from Oakland. Renee, can you just give her some ideas about the approach to the bedtime wetting?
You can get a bedwetting alarm. The easiest place to find them is on bedwettingstore.com. There are a variety of things, and this is something that you and your daughter can do together. In the nighttime, when the alarm sounds, you can remind her that this is the feeling that happens before the wetting occurs, to get out of bed, go to the bathroom, so that over time her brain and bladder begin to put that together.
And Christine, this is something that you say to her, you know, we're going to work on this together. We're going to make this happen. Talk to your pediatrician always also. And how sometimes it's weeks and people learn, right? It doesn't take that long.
Right. The average amount of time it takes is about 8 to 10 weeks for a child to get to dryness. But even within the first couple of weeks, you'll begin to see some things happen. Getting up more quickly, knowing when the wetting's occurring is always the first step.
And for some parents, I know they've brought the mattress even of the child into their own bedroom because you hear the alarm and the child doesn't, and you may have to, in the beginning, kind of get them used to hearing the alarm and waking up. But you take it on as a family project, in a sense. And the key for anyone who has a bedwetter is not to make them feel shame, not to make them feel embarrassed. They can't help it, and that's why they're wetting their bed. Christine, thank you so much. I'll send you a copy of Renee's book, Nighttime Dryness. I appreciate you calling in this morning. Bye-bye, Christine.
Okay. Oh, I have one more question.
Yeah?
Do you think bedwetting is hereditary?
Yes, absolutely. It absolutely is. Absolutely, absolutely. So let's have a lot of empathy for these kids, and this book will really help you, Christine. Take good care, and again, thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Let's take a listen to a couple of other parents' questions on potty training.
I'm assistant producer Felsha Zuschlag, and this week I spoke with two moms who are in the process of potty training. What was it like for you at the beginning of potty training?
I didn't really aggressively pursue it. I felt like around 2.5, I did sort of start encouraging it, maybe doing like a sticker system where you reward. But that wasn't actually really working for her. She's the kind of kid that you just need to let them figure out what their timeline is. And by the time she was almost 4, she just said, Mommy, I want to wear panties to school. And I just kind of let her guide the process.
It was a mixture. I mean, I kind of sensed that she was ready, but we also had a timeline because we needed to get her into preschool, and the preschool we wanted her to go to needed her to be potty trained. So we had a timeline as well as her being ready for, you know, she was showing the physical signs. So that's what made us decide.
And do you have any tips that worked for your children?
Well, I think it differs for each parent, but I do think children kind of let you know what they're ready for.
We made it fun for her. I used to sing her a goofy song that she liked, and I never scolded her when she made a mistake or she had an accident. And we were very consistent. That was the other thing. We consistently made sure she went and kept, you know, reminding her. Didn't bug her, though. So I think those things helped.
And are there any problems or questions that you're facing?
There are two things that are problematic for us. One is she refuses to go poop on the potty. She always asks for a diaper. So she doesn't have accidents, but she comes and asks us for a diaper and will cry and struggle if we don't give it to her, and, you know, holds the BM in and gets constipated. And the other thing is she's scared of the big toilet, like, you know, the adult toilet with the child rim in it. So those are the two questions I had of, you know, how do we move ahead from where we are? We're kind of stuck in a rut.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
Well, those are great questions. And as we're winding up here, Helen, anything you want to say to that mom?
Yes, I would not pressure on the big toilet. You may want to have her flush after you've used it. I would just concentrate on the potty at this point. Also, if she's wanting a diaper to poop, one thing to do is just start moving her the right direction. So when you give her the diaper to poop in, say, this is something we do in the bathroom, and have her go use the diaper in the bathroom. At some point, you may be able to either cut a hole in it, as Renee suggested, or put the diaper underneath the potty chair or gradually have her hold the diaper instead of put it on. So it's a little looser and a little looser, put it under the lid of the potty chair. So just gradual little steps the right direction.
Good. And again, no pressure. If things are going hard, you need to back off. You know, we have so many people calling in. I'm so happy that people are, you know, interested in this. And if you don't get on the air and you have a question, please go ahead and email me at info@childhoodmatters.org. Let's hear from Sharon right now as we finish up. Sharon, good morning.
Good morning, Rona.
You know, we have about 30 seconds left here. You are a childcare provider. Tell us what's important from your perspective.
Well, it's been very important that you just be steadfast with your children. With them. Every child is different. Just, you know, be stern and when you're training them, you know, keep a schedule with them, and they'll get used to that schedule.
And as a provider,
every child is different. So you have to maybe critique what you're doing.
Right.
With you know, from a boy to a girl, or even the girls are different. The boys are different, as you well know. But
and for you, probably having the parents work with you is really important, right?
I want the parents to have a potty at their home. I tell them that we're getting ready to start, and I really need you to work with me, because if the parents lack, if their child leaves me and goes home, then my work is in vain. So it's very important that the parent keeps up the routine.
Well, thank you, Sharon. And I think a lot of parents rely on a child care provider to really help them and support them in this process. I think, though, it's very important for that communication to happen, because providers know children in one way, parents know their child in another way, and I think they have to be having that discussion. Sharon, we're out of time. Thank you, though, for speaking with us this morning. Helen Neville, a final word on this subject.
Individual variation. Kids are ready at different times in different ways, and it really is an interaction between who they are and moving ahead on the process.
And this book is really helpful, and parents should obviously keep talking to each other about this.
Right.
But don't compare notes and think that you're a better parent if your child is potty trained earlier and a worse parent if they aren't. It's not about whether you're a good parent or not, is it?
Absolutely not.
Renee Mercer, how can people find out about bedwetting and your alarm and all the great work you do?
Bedwettingstore.com is our great website with all the different alarms. And then my private practice, dryatnight.com in Maryland.
And a word of encouragement for bedwetters?
Bedwetters can get to dryness as well. And kids are 13 times more likely to get to dryness if they use some kind of a bedwetting device when they're ready.
Great. Well, thank you both for joining me so much. We're going to listen now to our community report with Lacey Daniels. She's going to be talking about sunscreen and how to choose the best kind for a kid. And so don't go away. And again, email me if you have questions. info@childhoodmatters.org.
Associate Producer Lacey Daniel, and this is the Childhood Matters Community Report. Summer is right around the corner, which means more time in the sun. With sunscreens reaching SPF levels of 100 these days, it can be confusing to know which one is best for you. This week I spoke with Becky Sutton, a senior scientist with the nonprofit Environmental Working Group, that recently released a study on the effectiveness of sunscreens.
People might not know that right now there aren't any rules that tell us what sunscreens are good or effective. That means that basically sunscreen companies can make all kinds of misleading claims, and the products on store shelves may not be as effective as you think.
So when I'm standing in the aisle to buy sunscreen and I see one that says SPF 100 and one that says SPF 30, I'm going to think that obviously the one that says 100 is better, right?
It turns out even FDA says that claims above 50 can't really be substantiated. So a lot of it's misleading marketing, and unfortunately, it gives consumers a false sense of security. Sometimes folks end up staying out in the sun longer because they think they have this super powerful protectant on their skin, and they might actually be exposing themselves to more damaging rays, especially the UVA rays. SPF only applies to UVB rays, the ones that do sunburn.
So what tips would you give consumers when they're out shopping for sunscreens?
We recommend buying a sunscreen that has good UVA protection. Now, obviously, the SPF gives you the level of UVB protection. And in order to get good UVA protection, you want to look for a sunscreen that has zinc or titanium in it. And then another couple ingredients that can also work are avobenzone or mexoral.
That was Becky Sutton with the Environmental Working Group. For more information on summer safety and to see a list of safe sunscreens, visit the last show's page on our website, childhoodmatters.org. For Childhood Matters, I'm Lacey Daniel.
Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners. I'm grateful to our team, senior producer Zan West, producers Lacey Daniel and Felsha Zuschlag, Lorenzo Pasola at the controls, and Peter B. Collins of Collins Media Services. I'm forever grateful to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. This is Nurse Sirona saying goodbye until next week. And parents, remember, spend time with your kids and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are the family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.